Welcome to Working in Teams, Unit 4, Individual Roles and Team Mission. At the end of this unit, the learner will be able to clarify individual roles relative to the tasks and processes assigned to a team, identify strengths and limitations relative to the tasks and processes when developing a team, define specific roles and responsibilities for the fulfillment of the team mission, and define expectations to support the team action plan. In a team, there are various members who take on different roles based on their characteristics and leadership skills and the specific contributions they wish to provide the team. Understanding the roles of themselves and others can lead to a more effective team. Team decisions can be made using a variety of different methods and approaches. On the following slides, we'll take a look at 7 different methods that can be applied by teams when facing decisions. In Method 1, decisions are made by authority without team discussion. In this process, the designated leader makes all decisions without consulting team members. The strengths are that it takes minimal time. It's commonly used because of that fact. And it rates quite high in the assertiveness scale. The weaknesses include that there is no team interaction. The team may not understand what is needed in terms of implementing the elements that come out of the decision, and it's fairly low on cooperation scale. It is appropriate when the task is simple and routine, or merely an administrative task where there's little time available to make the decision, and when the team commitment to implement it is rather low. Method 2, decision by expert. This is a decision process where the expert is selected to make the decision after considering the issues. It's useful when one person on the team has an overwhelming expertise in that area. The weakness includes it could be an unclear situation in terms of who the expert is, and because there is no team interaction, you are placing all of your eggs in one basket, so to speak. It may become a popularity issue or power-driven issue. The appropriate time for using Method 2 is when the result is highly dependent on specific expertise and you have a clear choice for the expert. It can also be helpful when the team commitment to implement is low. A third method for making decisions is by averaging the individual team members' opinions. This is where you separately ask each of the team members for their opinion and then average the results. The strengths are that it tends to cancel out extreme opinions or error. Team members are consulted. They are part of the process. It's useful when it's difficult to get the team together, but you can reach them individually and where urgency is required. The weaknesses include that there is no team interaction, so there is no real commitment to a team element. The opinions of the least and the most knowledgeable members cancel out because you're basically using a one-to-one element. The commitment to decision may not be strong, as it may lead to a situation where there's some unresolved conflict or a situation where some of the future work of the team's effectiveness could be damaged. It is appropriate when the time available is limited, where the participation of the team is required, but not in a lengthy interaction sense, and where the commitment of the team is low in terms of implementation. The fourth method is where decisions can be made by authority following some time that the team has had to discuss the issue. The process here is for the team to have full and open discussion about ideas, but the designated leader will be making that final decision. The leader typically calls the meeting, presents the issues, and then it is open to the observations and ideas of each of the team members, and then at the end, they announce their decision. The strengths are that the team can more easily get both involved and see the results of their ideas as the decision is made. Listening to the team obviously increases the accuracy of the decision by the leader. Weaknesses are that it is not the team decision. The team is merely providing their ideas and input. The team may compete as individual members for the team may see it as a competition for attention by the leader. Team members may tell the leader what they want to hear versus what their true opinion is, and there is still not real commitment from the team. It is an appropriate method when the time available allows for the interaction, but where agreement or consensus is not necessarily by the team, and where it leads to an authority decision, obviously there would be a situation where team commitment would need to be low. Method 5 is decision by minority. A minority of the team, two or more members, who constitute less than 50% of the team, will make the decision. The strength of this is that it is often used by committees or subgroups of larger bodies. It is useful when you have a large number of decisions and limited time, and some team perspective and discussion is included. The weaknesses are that it can be railroading. That is, it can take an idea or a direction and move it along without really a good hearing from the larger membership. And for that reason, there may not be full commitment to the decision. It can also create some competition among team members, and again, there is no real team commitment to that decision. It's useful when there is clearly a limited time to move on the decision, and it precludes having a full discussion where the clear choice of minority group isn't vivid and obviously clear, and where the team commitment to implement is relatively low. Method 6, decision by majority vote, is the most commonly used method in the United States. That does not mean that it is the best method, but taking a vote on something is a way that has been fairly strongly acculturated into our process here in the United States. The strengths are that it is very useful when there is limited time to make a decision by consensus and where complete team member commitment is unnecessary in terms of implementing the decision. Weaknesses include that it is taken for granted as the natural and maybe only way to make decisions when you meet a crisis or an obstacle situation. It also leads to winners and losers because the majority means that there is a minority that disagrees with the decision, and therefore it may not lead to a real quality choice. There are also the issues of unresolved conflict and an issue of partial interaction by the team members. It is appropriate when time constraints are rather rigid and where group consensus supporting the decision is really not necessary, and where team commitment is required and where it is, again, a bit of cultural acceptance of majority vote, where even the minority will agree that, okay, we'll go along with that because it's the majority vote. Method 7 is decision by consensus. This is a process where a collected discussion is held and where the decision is arrived at through an effective and fair decision process. That is, where everyone is involved in the discussion and all opinions are heard and the decision is made that is in no one's worst interest. This may not be 100% for everyone, but it's typically over 50% for everyone. Its strengths are that it's the most effective method for gaining full commitment to decisions. It's a situation where all team members know that their opinions have been heard and that they have felt that they have been understood, and where active listening is typically propagated. The weaknesses are that it takes much more time than the other six methods, and it takes the huge amount of psychological energy where folks are quite passionate about what it is they're talking about. It can be negative as well, where we have individuals in the group who reduce their best interest to basically sabotage or move the decision away from an actual achieved decision situation. It is appropriate when the time is available for the discussion that's necessary to reach consensus and where the leader of the team is skilled in facilitating the kind of discussion that is required. You are to review the 7 methods for making team decisions and then construct a method for how to make both a small-scale and a large-scale decision. You should use an example for each of these decisions from your own personal experience and then provide a write-up that displays how you approach each of these decisions in a team situation using each one of the 7 methods described earlier.